VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us. We have a lot of information to unfold today. You know, often it is Christians who are accused of hate-mongering, accused of hate for agreeing with the scriptures that the practices espoused by the LGBT movement are an abomination to God. But, you know, we have spoken often on this program about the word projection, that those who accuse you are often the ones guilty of doing it themselves. And right now, on full display, is the extreme hate propagated by adherents of the LGBTQ movement that are making threats of physical violence, rape, death, and arson, being targeted at Kim Davis, who simply but boldly would not violate her conscience and issue a marriage license to people of the same sex. Also under threat is Liberty Counsel and their team for daring to represent Kim Davis and stand up for her constitutional rights. But with us today, we welcome the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, a constitutional attorney, three landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. You hear him on radio broadcast, Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And Matt, just before we get to the Kim Davis case and the graphic physical threats that are being launched against her, her husband, and your staff, I know you also follow Israel closely, and it's getting even more tumultuous as just 2 days ago, top leaders in the terror group Hamas and Hezbollah were eliminated. And now, according to the New York Times, Iran's Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has ordered Iran to strike Israel directly in retaliation. We had Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made an address last night assuring Israelis that their nation is prepared for any attack, and he has warned those who attack Israel will pay a steep price. Your comment as to what's going on right now?
Yeah, this is a very tense situation right now in Israel and in the entire Middle East. This attack on this, you know, Israel is amazing because they went into, or, you know, they haven't given the specifics, but it now looks like that a shoulder-mounted rocket launcher was launched from a building inside of Tehran, Iran, inside of Iran, targeted precision direction towards the leader of Hamas. This is an individual who you would see him on all the different Middle East media formats and did lots of interviews after October 7th saying that they were going to repeat October 7th again and again and again and again. And he was the spokesperson. He was a high-ranking, one of the highest-ranking individuals in the Hamas terror organization. He had just left the inauguration of the now current president of Iran. And there are photographs and video of him embracing the president and the president of Iran embracing him. He's the individual that you may have seen a video on right after, on the day actually of October 7th. He's playing the news on the TV screen, and then they get down on their knees and they start to give prayers to Allah for what just happened in October 7. He has been eliminated. That is incredibly significant. Number one, because he's one of the top level leaders of Hamas. Number two, it happened in Tehran, Iran. That means Israel is sending a message. We know where you are. We can take you out anytime we want to. You come after us and you kill our women and our children. You will be targeted, and that's what they did. At the same time, over in Lebanon, in Beirut, there was a specific precision strike that took out one of the top leaders of Hezbollah. America ought to be thanking Israel because this individual goes back for some time and was part of the mastermind for the 1983 bombing of the U.S. Embassy. So he has now been eliminated. He's been on the terror watch list for some time. He's one of the top leaders of the terrorist organization of Hezbollah. Both of those have been eliminated. Now Iran has said that they will take direct action against Israel. And Turkey has also said that they will join Iran against Israel. So now you have Iran. You have Turkey saying that they would join in. You've got the Houthis already firing rockets. And then you've got the Hezbollah in the Lebanon. Of course, most of the Lebanese, they don't want that to happen, but unfortunately they have allowed Hamas to gain control, and they're the tail in Lebanon that's essentially wagging the dog and calling the shots. And so the government is too afraid to do anything to stop Hezbollah. Frankly, the majority of people in Lebanon favor Israel wiping out Hezbollah because Hezbollah has made it bad for them as well. But the problem is that you've got this tinderbox all around, and particularly with regards to Iran.
You know, Matt, it is really a powder keg waiting to explode at this point. And as you've described the scenarios here and multiple nations that are seeming to come together in all of this, and again, Israel's prime minister is not deterred by what's going on to stay the course, continue to root out those acts, you know, the terrorist and those who threaten to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. I mean, Israel has taken action for their very survival.
Yeah, in fact, the person that they took out in Lebanon, the leader of Hezbollah, was the mastermind between the rocket launch recently in northern Israel that killed the 12 children at playing soccer. I've seen the videos of what happened in that situation, and it's horrible. This large rocket comes right into this playground of children that are playing soccer. One of them is so disfigured that you had to use other ways to identify the body. Some of them were burned. They were blown apart, ripped apart by this rocket. Well, that person who organized that is gone. The other person who was part of the organization of October 7 is gone as well. Israel has no choice but to defend itself. And what you have here is a radicalism that most of the people in the United States and certainly in the West don't understand. I just saw a video of a young man in his 20s. He went over to, not Gaza, but in Israel, to some of the Palestinian populated areas, Ramallah specifically, where the Palestinian Authority relocated out of Gaza, and he interviewed people. Not a single person, man, woman, young or old, was opposed to Hamas. They all supported Hamas. They all supported October 7. They all thought that it was fine to go and kill Jews. They all thought that all the Jews should be completely eliminated and wiped out of Israel, and that there should be only Palestine and not Israel. Not a single person was he able to find that had any dissenting view. This is because of their indoctrination from cradle to grave.
Yeah. Well, friends, we bring this to your attention today. It is a powder keg as we speak, and continue to be praying. As Scripture says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, friends, there are many who are seeking to eradicate Israel. It will never happen. God does have a plan for Israel, and we just encourage you to remain in prayer regarding the situation that continues to unfold. Well, Matt, as we turn our attention to the purpose for which we invited you on the program today, we know that there are hateful adherents of the LGBTQ lifestyle and agenda that are severely threatening your staff as well as your client, Kim Davis. And before we speak of the current threats, I want you to reintroduce Kim Davis to our listeners. Some know who she is. Others may be scant knowledge. So reintroduce us to her and what this case is all about.
Well, Kim Davis is a clerk, was a clerk. She's now retired in Rowland County, Kentucky, a rural area of Kentucky. And she ran for election. She had been working in the clerk's office for many years with her mother. Her mother retired from the office in 2015. She ran for election in 2015, and she won. And she began to realize that the Supreme Court just took up a case called Obergefell versus Hodges, and it was going to be deciding the Kentucky Marriage Amendment that just passed in 2004. And that particular amendment said that marriage was the union of one man and one woman. This case is now going to the U.S. Supreme Court. So she tries to get people's attention that this is coming and the Supreme Court could go the wrong way. In June, the Supreme Court unfortunately did go the wrong way, 5-4, and there has been significant dissents even by the Chief Justice. Three of those justices in the five are no longer there. And the Chief Justice called this a decision of just five lawyers that had nothing to do with the Constitution. Very upset with this five-person majority. So that happened at the very last Friday of June 2015. The very next week, Kim Davis was challenged. She's the clerk of Rowan County. As a clerk, your name, your title, and authority goes on all marriage licenses. Kim could not disobey God's word with regards to Mary and marriage and put her name, title, and authority on a marriage license that conflicts with God's word. So she stopped issuing all licenses until she could get a religious accommodation. She asked for a religious accommodation. She got sued. She ended up in jail for 6 days, and that got international attention. It ultimately led to the election of Republican Governor Matt Bevins, who gave her a religious accommodation in December of 2015 when he was sworn into office. And the final year, the next year, April of 2016, she got unanimous House and Senate that passed legislation that exempts all clerks that have a conscience objection to same-sex marriage. So she won the accommodation she wanted. But the ACLU continued to press forward. They wanted to have Kim Davis personally responsible for damages. So last year we went to a jury trial. Two juries heard exactly the same evidence the same day. One came back with a zero verdict. The other one came back with a $100,000 verdict for different plaintiffs. And then the judge awarded $260,000 against her for attorney's fees and costs. So now she has $360,000 against her personally. Not against the government, against Kim Davis personally. This is an amazing, sweet lady who loves the Lord. She doesn't hate anyone. She just wanted religious accommodation. She got religious accommodation for her and others, but now she's being a target of this lawsuit by the ACLU. So a week ago, we filed our brief at the Court of Appeals.
Matt, let me interrupt you for just a moment. Did not clerks in the office, in various offices in Kentucky, were they not some clerks who would not want to participate in issuing licenses for various reasons with no ramifications?
That's right. Well, there were some clerks before this. There's always been ability of clerks to opt out for conscience reasons, for example, if they didn't want to issue a hunting or fishing license. So clerks are always able to do that. You could opt out of opting out of issuing those licenses. And if, in fact, on the marriage license issue, there were clerks everywhere, and a lot of clerks were issuing those. So in this case, David Ermold and his boyfriend at the time, who he wasn't even planning to get married, but he saw Kim Davis, and he decided to make a legal case out of this and then press forward with this request to get married. He could have gone to any one of these. He drove right by another clerk's office that was granting these licenses, but he didn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get it from Kim Davis. Why? Because he wanted to mock her Christian beliefs. Specifically, he wanted it with Kim Davis's name. And, you know, the governor, by the way, he had accommodated his own attorney general when the attorney general said, I can't defend this marriage law that was just passed by the people, that marriage is a union of man and woman. Governor said, oh, no problem. I'll accommodate your conscience. I'll accommodate your conscience. I'll hire someone else to do it. So he did. Well, Kim Davis, on the other hand, says, I can't issue a same-sex marriage license. Can I get accommodated for my conscience? No. You've got to do it or be terminated.
Friends, we're going to pick up with this after the break and learn about recent filings that Liberty Counsel made on behalf of Kim Davis and the anger, the fervor, the threats against Kim Davis are rising to the surface. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar Speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different types of animals did Noah take on board the ark?
Chris, detractors from the biblical flood story say that there were way too many animals to have fit on board the ark. But not so. Let's look carefully. First off, we need to recognize that most animals live in the ocean and would not have to be on board the ark. They would survive, at least in representative numbers, outside the ark. By the way, Noah didn't even have to take two of every species. The Bible says two of every kind, probably a broader category which might include a number of species, like the dog kind. Altogether, I suspect that there were probably less than 20,000 animals on board the ark. This was difficult for Noah, but not impossible. At least that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us today. And friends, it is unbelievable the hateful threats that are coming to do not only bodily harm, but death, arson, etc., all being targeted against individuals that are simply standing up for their free exercise of religion, their conscious rights here as well. Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel is with us today and sharing with us about Kim Davis and folks, where this is going is huge ramifications for the entire nation. We're going to get into that. Matt, you had the fervor has really picked up in regard to a recent filing that you made to an appellate court. So pick it up there, if you would.
Yes, we filed our brief at the Court of Appeals. And in our legal brief, we obviously argue that the jury verdict should be overturned because there's no evidence for it. But we also argue that she should be protected by the First Amendment for exercise of religion. She actually got accommodation from the governor and the legislature. She should have gotten accommodation from the court when we asked her to be accommodated under the First Amendment. And none of this would have happened. But more importantly, and this is very important, this is what caught all of the media attention. We're asking the court, we're setting up the situation to overturn the 2015 Obergefell decision. That is what has attracted all the media attention. Many of the headlines are, you know, expressing concern. People that they're interviewing in these interviews of the articles, they're concerned that this case could be the one to overturn the 2015 Obergefell decision. Why? Well, because several things. It was a 5-4 opinion. The Chief Justice among the four dissenters, but the Chief Justice issued a very, very, very strong dissent, saying this was an opinion of five lawyers, had no basis in the Constitution. Two, the three of those five in that majority are no longer there. That would be Kennedy and Breyer and Ginsburg. So three of them are gone. The only two that remain would be Kagan and Sotomayor. So that majority is no longer there. And three, in 2022, the Supreme Court decided the Dobbs case that overturned the Roe versus Wade abortion decision. And in that decision, they gutted what's called substantive due process because it's not part of the Constitution. Due process simply means you have a right to be notified of a charge against you, and you have a right to defend yourself. But the Supreme Court created this thing called substantive due process, which has no constitutional basis, and that's what they used for Roe versus Wade. That was rejected in 2022 by the Supreme Court, and Justice Thomas said that now the court should reevaluate other cases that are based on that flawed foundation, including Obergefell. So our case, Justice Thomas also, by the way, in another situation, along with Justice Alito, commented on our case, saying that this case raises very significant issues and that the Supreme Court caused this mess and it needs to address it. So our case really has a strong potential to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court and overturn this 2015 Obergefell decision. That's what has caused all of the media stir. That's what stirred up all of the haters, you know, spurred on by the Southern Poverty Law Center with all of their false allegations, where they list organizations like Liberty Counsel or Family Research Council as so-called hate groups. The only one that's a hater is the SPLC and those that follow that organization. Mm-hmm. If you believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, or you believe in the sanctity of human life, then they will classify you as a hate organization. And some of those wackos, when they read that stuff, they act on it. And like what they did against Family Research Council in 2012, they tried to commit mass murder because of the SPLC's website. And they did the same thing to the Republicans playing softball in Washington, D.C., tried to commit mass murder because of the SPLC's website designation. And now since Kim Davis has reached this media again, most recently, not only Kim, but Liberty Counsel, those threats have increased. So we've had to take additional security measures just to make sure that our staff and our facilities are protected.
Well, Matt, and if this organization is really concerned about extremist haters out there, They need to listen to the kind of threats that have been coming and launched against Kim Davis and her husband and against Liberty Counsel. Expose what's going on.
Yeah, Kim Davis, for example, her husband answered the phone one time, and this was during the case, but this is the kind of threats that they've gotten, and they still get, and we get. And, in fact, my wife just received a direct threat herself because of this media attention with Kim Davis. So he got a phone call, and the caller said that he was coming to the house. He was going to tie up her husband, who he was talking with. He was going to then physically assault and rape Kim Davis, and then he was going to kill them and burn them up in the house. I mean, but the SPLC won't say anything about that kind of hate. That's very, very dangerous. It's that kind of hatred where they act on it and they want to take you out, literally take out your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to disagree. People are free to disagree. This is America. We have our First Amendment right to have our freedom of speech and freedom of conscience. You can disagree, but we ought to be civil about it. And we ought to be able to engage in civil, peaceful dialogue. But what happens is they ratchet up the rhetoric so much so that they are encouraging people to take physical violence against those with whom they disagree. I mean, we just saw that, for example, on July 13 with the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. That doesn't just grow out of nowhere. That becomes part of this propaganda, and people then act on that propaganda. And if you go back, for example, to some of the rhetoric that was used against him, even by politicians, saying that he ought to be assassinated, he ought to be taken out, he ought to be punched in the face. I mean, that is irresponsible rhetoric that leads to violence. And that kind of violence, that kind of rhetoric needs to end.
It does need to end. And, Matt, this the anger, the fervor, the threats that are coming, I mean, what you described there indeed is that we're talking about threats of physical violence, threats of rape, threats of murder, and threats of arson then, to burn the house down with them dead inside it. I mean, this is no small stir that is being created here. And it's because they simply want to stand up for their constitutional rights and their free exercise of religion. You are representing them. And the very thought that this might overturn the Obergefell decision, I mean, has just unleashed, I use the expression demons out of the pit here in this regard to try and stop this from happening. There's those that are so married to this matter of immoral lifestyle and living that is causing them to act in ways that certainly should not be tolerated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see this during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, where they intentionally mock Jesus Christ with this mocking of the Last Supper, with this mm-hmm. LGBT debauchery presentation that they did in mocking of the Last Supper, and also, you know, what the Olympics did when, on their official X account, they actually had prayers to these pagan gods, and they're mocking Christians. You know, that kind of thing ultimately results in action, and oftentimes it's physical action. What we need to do is we need to ratchet down the rhetoric. We need to be able to respect one another, disagree with one another, of course, be able to have our discussion and our debates, but not eliminate the other person just because you disagree with them. And unfortunately, that's what we see. You know, for example, if you look at the Southern Poverty Law Center, in 2011, they listed for the first time on their so-called hate map, Liberty Counsel, Family Research Council, American Family Association, and Concerned Women for America. That's 2011. What happened 1 year later? 1 year later, Floyd Corkins goes to the SPLC website, and he buys Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Why Chick-fil-A? Because the founder of Chick-fil-A was on a radio interview, and he had said to a question that he believes marriage is the union of man and woman. So he bought these Chick-fil-A sandwiches. He had weapons. He went into the Family Research Council office in Washington, D.C. in 2012, a year after they were designated on this hate map by the SPLC, and he tried to commit mass murder. He was going to put these Chick-fil-A sandwiches in the mouths of the dead corpses that he had shot. And FRC was not the only organization. He had a list of others. He just never made it there. Fortunately, the security guard stopped him, got shot in the process. Floyd Corkins is now in prison, and he's actually stated in a video confession why he did what he did, because of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
Same thing with why Steve Scalise, a representative, a member of the House of Representatives from Louisiana, why does he have his ongoing injury? Because he was at a softball game with Republicans, and someone went to the SPLC website, and he intended to eliminate, they were playing the Republicans versus Democrats. He went there to eliminate all the Republican softball players, baseball players. And he did it because of this rhetoric on the SPLC's hate list. We have been on that since 2011. And so we have been subject to these same kinds of death threats. So we have had to install all kinds of security measures, including active shooter training for our staff and a lot of other things that I won't go into in terms of security, because those are things that we have had to undertake and constantly do undertake at all of our facilities and wherever we go. So it's because of this SPLC that actually has been very friendly with this administration, by the way. Those kinds of things actually have consequences. And so now when you have this Kim Davis case come up, again, you have those same kind of people that follow that SPLC rhetoric or think like that, and they think, oh, we need to take these people out. We need to eliminate them. That is really a new era that we are living in now. You know, we used to be able to agree and disagree with things. Now people want to just literally wipe you off the map.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous, you know, trajectory that we need to begin to change, and we need to do it sooner than later.
Matt, you filed this legal brief with the Court of Appeals. Any indication as to when they will consider whether to accept this case or not?
Well, they've already accepted the case, and there will be now a response. They have 30 days to file their response, and
okay.
We have about 15 days to file a reply. So sometime in the middle of the fall, we'll have all of our briefs in, and the court will then schedule a oral argument on the case. And from there, we'll have a decision that will be sometime in the first quarter of 2025. And after that, the next step will be to the United States Supreme Court. So it could be before the U.S. Supreme Court in 2025 with a decision, either in 2025 or certainly no later than 2026. But it will be now moving up the chain. This is a great decision, case. It's a bad decision below, but it's a great case. The facts of the case are very good. Kim became the very first tragedy of this wrongly decided Obergefell, and literally was incarcerated for 6 days in prison with a mugshot and everything, simply because of her belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman,
Wow. A
belief that has been shared for millennia of human history from the very foundation of creation. And that's the reason why she went to prison.
Friends, just 48 hours ago, Liberty Counsel put forth a press release asking urgent prayer for Kim Davis in regard to these threats launched against her, her husband, the team at Liberty Counsel. More discussion on that and some related news that has come out here just in the last couple days as well. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY.
Pastor Ken Spilger was discouraged. His church was not growing like he desired, and he wanted God to do something. He was invited to fly to a pastor's conference. On the way back, the plane hit trees just short of the runway. It crashed and erupted into a fireball. The pilot and two other pastors were killed instantly. Ken Spilger was the sole survivor of the crash and was pulled from the burning wreckage of the plane. He spent months at a hospital's burn unit. Ken's story is documented in Pulled from the Burning, a powerful documentary that shows how God changed his life, his family, and his church. Pulled from the Burning is available for a donation of $15. The set includes a Blu-ray disc, a DVD, and a digital download. For Pulled from the Burning, call VCY America, 1-800-729-9829.
Got Constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. We're talking about the hateful LGBTQ adherents issuing threats against Kim Davis, her husband, staff of Liberty Counsel. Matt, as I mentioned just 48 hours ago, your organization put out a press release asking for urgent prayer. How can our listeners be praying for Liberty Counsel? How can they get engaged with this issue? It goes beyond flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle underway.
No, it really is a spiritual battle. And sometimes, you know, the mask of Satan is pulled off. You know, you see a lot of rhetoric. We saw that, for example, with the abortion decision. You know, you moved from this euphemistic thing such as freedom of choice and a woman's right to choose and reproductive health and so forth to, I had an abortion. I'm proud of an abortion. I want to kill children. To even, you know, what Pete Buttigieg just said recently, that abortion is necessary so that men can be free. This is a cabinet-level official of the Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah.
Abortion should be allowed so that men can be free? I mean, it's unbelievable. Sometimes the mask is taken off, kind of like what happened on October 7. The mask is taken off, and you see the horror behind it. The mask is taken off with regards to the Olympics. You see that horrible mockery of Christianity.
Yes.
And for prayer here, pray, obviously we're involved in a spiritual contest, you know, spiritual realm. And we understand that. So we want to ask your prayers for our team and certainly for Kim and her family for protection. And we also want to ask for total victory in this case. You know, we're not going to be deterred. We're not going to walk in fear. We're not going to stop doing what we believe God wants us to do. So these threats are not going to intimidate us. But just pray. Obviously, we don't want anybody to be hurt, certainly Kim or her family or anybody with our Liberty Counsel team. So pray for our safety. Pray for also victory with the court, that we have absolute total victory in this case, and that this 2015 Obergefell decision will ultimately be overturned. You know, what God, you know, Genesis chapter 50, what was intended for evil, God turned around for good. What was intended for evil, to throw Kim in jail over her Christian views and beliefs and objective reality that marriage is a man and woman. That lady, that very quiet, very soft-spoken woman, could be the woman who ultimately is at the center of overturning this Obergefell decision.
Matt, I know there is also great legal expense engaged with this. And for listeners who are able, desirous to help, how can they do so?
They can go to our website, lc.org. lc.org, there is a giving tab right at the top, lc.org. But you can also call us, 407-875-1776, if you wanted to give over the phone or you want to give get our address and mail in a check with Liberty Counsel, a tax-deductible organization. You can call 407-875-1776, 407-75-1776, or go directly to our website, lc.org, lc.org.
And that's the same number people can call if they are needing legal help for their First Amendment constitutional rights and free exercise of religion as well.
Yeah, that's correct. Same number.
And Matt, this is all tied into some of the other things currently going on in our culture right now. And we mentioned the Olympics, the blasphemous opening ceremony of the Last Supper. But also just within the last, 24 hours, we have the story coming out. I'm looking right now at a headline that came entitled Man Who Pummeled Women in Olympic Boxing Match Demonstrates Why We Must Continue This Cultural Fight. This is a man identifying as a woman that the Olympic Committee has allowed, and we understand as one who had been disallowed before, not passing the so-called gender test or whatever, but now allowed to, a man identifying a woman, come up against her in boxing? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's two men that the Olympics has allowed to actually participate in the boxing. Both of them have previously been definitively determined to be males by their DNA test. And they have been eliminated from boxing in other world events because they're men. They're not going to be allowed to box in the women's competition. But the Olympics said, no, we'll allow them to box in this competition. We'll allow them to actually enter into the women's boxing tournament. So one of these women who is good enough to reach the Olympics, she's in the ring with this man who is wanting to parade around as a woman and fool everybody that he wants to be a woman. She takes a blow from him, and then she just concedes with only 46 seconds into the match. And that really, I think, is outrageous, and that shows how absurd this Olympics is when they started promoting this transsexual issue with the mocking of the Last Supper. That's the kind of thing that it leads to. This is damaging to girls. In fact, there's a girl that recently came out and said she is protesting this Olympics. She's not in the Olympics right now. She actually was paralyzed on a volleyball competition when a man on the other side of the women's competition, he was doing the same thing on a women's team. He jumped up and spiked the ball, hit her head, and paralyzed her because the spike was so powerful. That should never be done. Men should never be allowed to compete. They ought to be ashamed of themselves, and the Olympics ought to be ashamed of themselves. Rather than pushing this LGBT nonsense and their pagan gods, they ought to be ashamed of themselves, and they ought to protect women in their sports.
And her Olympic dreams are just dashed after 46 seconds. And Matt, as I heard that this blow to the head was a blow like she has never experienced before in all her many years of boxing.
Yeah, she's an Olympic boxer. How many matches has she gone through to get on the Olympic team? And in 46 seconds, she gets hit by a force that she has never experienced before. If she had gone on, who knows, she could have been put in the hospital, could have even been killed in the ring.
Right.
This is just outrageous.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to wrap my head around how someone can think that this is acceptable.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Get on board. I've got one more issue here to talk about with Matt Staver, our guest from Liberty Council. Their website, lc.org, lc.org. Their phone number is 407-875-1776. Matt, a ruling just came out this week. A federal judge shot down a bid to block the Biden administration's new Title IX rule from going into effect in four states, paving the way now for the Biden administration to have their Department of Education enforce this new rule in Alabama and Florida, Georgia and South Carolina. We know that there are efforts to make this certainly nationwide, but this judge's decision impacting a number of states now. That allows for the expansion and the change of a definition of sex to include now gender identity and also sexual orientation. I mean, this also is outrageous, and this also points out why the fight that you're in in this culture war for Kim Davis is so critically important.
Yeah, this is just, it all fits together. It's all part of the same, trajectory here of this nonsensical deconstruction of male and female as God made us. And this is another one of those situations. The Biden administration's Department of Education issued an administrative rule to try to interpret sex in the 1972 Title IX. That actually applies to K-12 and college and universities that receive some kind of federal funds so that there's not any discrimination on the basis of sex, which law has allowed women's sports to be in schools. And that's why you see all these women in sports. It's because now they have the opportunity they didn't have before. So the Biden administration's Department of Education goes in and they say, well, we're going to interpret sex in the statute to mean sexual orientation and gender identity, and that means men and boys can play on women's and girls' sports. They can invade the women's private spaces. So there's been a number of states, all Republican red states, that have filed suit. So far, there's 22 states that have injunctions blocking that rule from going into effect, which goes into effect today, August the 1st. But this judge is the first judge that said, no, that it can go into effect. And that affects Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. This was an Alabama judge. I know that the Attorney General of Alabama said that they're going to appeal this right away to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which has already said previously that sex does not include sexual orientation or gender identity. It wasn't part of the statute. So I think they'll ultimately win on this. But I do know that Florida is going to say, no way, we're not enforcing this. This is just another one of the Biden administration, Harris administration's lawless acts. And they not only did it to education, they also did something like this to the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Guidance, for employers doing the same thing. Still unlawful as well, just like here. And, you know, good news is, one of the cases that came out of the Supreme Court this year overruled what's called the Chevron rule, Chevron deference rule. It came from a liberal Supreme Court decades ago. And what that said was, the administrative agencies, you know, we've got the three branches of government, and the legislature passes the law, like the legislature passed Title IX, 1972. Well, they have agencies that write these rules to implement the law. So the Department of Education is that agency for education. And historically, what happened with this Supreme Court decision called Chevron is that if they come up with these rules, they have a lot of deference, so really hard to overturn them. It became like the fourth branch of government. They could make their own rules, even though it wasn't consistent with the law, even beyond the law. The Supreme Court said no more now. So those agencies are losing their authority, and it's about time. So I think this will ultimately have a victory at the U.S. Supreme Court. But again, it's part of this culture war that you're talking about, as you said. And it's part of this Biden-Harris agenda to push this culture war, abortion, and also this LGBTQ issue.
That's huge. Huge.
And you know, if you go back to, like, you take the Olympics, for example. The Olympics, you know, originally was designed to honor these pagan gods. And some of these pagan gods, they had sacrifices of babies to them. And some of these pagan gods supposedly morphed from male to female. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. And you see that celebration of this nonsense during the opening ceremony. It's that issue. Life, the issue of abortion, and the whole LGBTQ issue, the mutilating of children, and pretending that they can be something that they're not, all of that is ancient paganism, and we're seeing it manifested again in our modern society.
Matt Staver with us today. Let's get to Ron in Washington. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. The fact that there's even such a thing as women's boxing just shows how sick our society is. Indeed, the Olympics is a pagan spectacle. And it's always, I feel sorry for the athletes, especially in the minor sports like swimming and track and field. That's the only time they can get on the center stage and get a lot of publicity. And they have it undermined and disparaged by the degenerates who run the International Olympic Committee. It's just disgraceful to me.
Thank you, Ron, for your comments. Friends, we've got some lines available. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls. Our number to Crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. Our topic, our main topic today with Matt Staver, is the hateful LGBTQ adherents. Adherents are issuing threats against their organization, against their clients, because they stand up for belief in marriage, as Scripture teaches, as being between one man and one woman. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Many across the globe were shocked at the opening ceremonies in Paris for the Olympics, as they rolled out a blasphemous opening ceremony that included what seemed to be mocking the Last Supper. And not only that, they also had what appeared to be a pale horse riding right through the opening of the Olympics as well. Well, the Bible tells us that one sign that God has given over a people or country or the whole world is their celebration of the homosexual lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle. There were drag queens, and there were transgenders, transvestites, mixed in with little children at the opening ceremony. And then a pale white horse that Revelation 6 says signifies something that will kill a fourth of the earth. Pestilence, persecution, and more. What are the globalists predicting? Be discerning. I'm Brennan House.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council, and indeed, intense threats being launched against his client and his staff as a result of standing up for the biblical teaching on marriage as between one man and one woman. Let's get right back to the phone lines. We have Jim calling from Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
First of all, I want to tell both you gentlemen, thank you so much for the ministries that you guys have given to us. And Matt, I get your emails. I contact my state legislators about current events, but this thing with the Olympics, I'm just urging everybody that I can on Facebook and elsewhere to boycott them, because it's just absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Jim. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, just what Matt's talking about. All the signs that they're pointing to is what the Bible speaks about in the end times. just like when the prophet Isaiah went into Hezekiah, God told him, go in and tell him to get his house in order because he's going to die and not live. And, my word is to the church and to this world, we need to get things going because things are winding down. If you can't see it, you're really blind.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Thank you for the call, Matt. Interesting point there. The scripture talks about in the last days, perilous times would come. We're seeing that on full display, are we not?
Yeah, we are seeing it. How many people would have imagined, I didn't watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics, but, I've seen replays of different things. How many people would imagine that the Olympics would actually mock the Last Supper with this kind of paganism and this LGBT nonsense and with a child there as well, just totally mock it, and then actually have prayers to Dionysus on its official X, formerly Twitter website or social media, and literally enact prayers. If you go back to the Olympics, for example, the Olympics were created to have sacrifices to Zeus and some of these other pagan gods. It was an honor of these pagan gods. It was in the 4th century when Constantine became Christian that Christians ultimately stopped it because it was all centered around paganism. Then, of course, that started again in the late 1800s in Greece, but now it looks like in 2024 they're going right back, at least that's what the attempt it looks like, right back to its original founding of honoring pagan demonic demons. Who would have ever thought that we're like this? And to that caller's credit, if you're not going to wake up and see this now, you're not going to wake up. You're blind. I mean, we've got to be able to pray. We've got to be able to get involved. Just don't get discouraged. Don't become disengaged. Engage. Now is the time to pray and get engaged.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Dee, who is calling from Texas. Hi, Dee. You're on the air. Hello, Dee.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I got lost. Yes. I believe we should introduce the Bible in school, not just in prison, so people might not end up in prison if they have the right morals to start with. And, yes, I'm pro a marriage between a man and a woman just because of the procreation.
Yeah.
And whatever people want to do with their life, I am not here to judge. Probably we're not here to judge. However, I would appreciate if they keep it private. I don't need to be thrown in my face, in my kids' face. I don't need to see what they do in private. I don't need to know their preference, sexual preferences. I do not know. I do not need to know any of those. So this is how we kind of need to tell them to.
Thank you, Dee.
And
so much of this, is Matt, is just really in your face. I mean, that's what the Olympics was. It was intentional.
Yeah.
The Olympics is so choreographed. It is so perfectly timed. Everything has a plan and a purpose. It was not accidental.
No, it was not accidentally. They did it on purpose. They had a plan. They knew what they were going to do. They had reviewed all of this beforehand. It was intentional. And it's in your face. It's just like some of these corporations. It just makes no sense. Just make your product. Make it well. You can have your own views, but don't use your company to push this offensive agenda down people's throats.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Dallas, Texas. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us, says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knoweth and understands me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And it also says, love not the world. So we shouldn't let the world into the church anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your comment there. You know, Matt, I just wrote a column on this, which we just posted at our website today, vcy.org, about this whole matter of mockery that we are seeing take place from the Olympics, but that's just exhibiting what's happening in society around us. And I did quote from the book of Jude that really is a book of warning, but in the very verses 18 and 19, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And that's what we're seeing on full display.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing on full display. You also see, like, from Romans 1, where people
yes.
worship the creation rather than the Creator, and God gives them up to a reprobate mind. And then there are those who engage in reprobate activity, including, you know, same-sex activity. And then there's others that just cheer them on. They're not engaging in it, but they're cheering them on. They're kind of like cheerleaders on the sideline applauding all of this debauchery.
Matt, we have just a minute left. What is your charge? What is your challenge to the church today in light of these times in which we live?
Well, you know, Kim Davis is an example of really that challenge. She is a woman who was going in a bad direction in her life, and she had a dramatic conversion when she just went to church one evening just to satisfy her dying mother-in-law's wish to get her life in order, and that's when she heard the gospel, and she became a broken woman and a changed woman. And then when the battle came to her, she wasn't looking for it, she would not betray her Lord or be dishonorable to her Lord, and so she's willing to do whatever it is that is necessary to honor him. And really, that's the story that we all should be engaged in, transformed lives, and then be bold whenever, you know, that battle comes to you. But you know what? We are living at a unique moment in history. God birthed us for this moment in time. And so it's not a surprise to him. Maybe a surprise to us, but it's not a surprise to him. With him, all things are in control. All things are possible. So be in, you know, relationship with the Lord. Press into the Lord. Ask how you can be used by him, and then make a difference that will echo and ripple through history.
Amen. Making a difference, friends. We're called to be salt and light. So we're told in 1 Corinthians, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's be faithful in serving our God. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. Their website is lc.org, lc.org. Their number 407-875-1776. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Friends, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.